The Berean Christians were different. And Luke writes about that in Acts chapter 17. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. The Christians in Berea were different. And what made them different is that when it came to matters of faith, they were all in. And it's good to be all in. Sometimes. See, there are some things in life that require your attention. They require you to be all in, and if you aren't, you will lose them. But there are other things in life that just aren't like that. And if you go all in on the wrong things, you risk becoming a punchline. And Hollywood figured this out a long time ago. If you're my age, you might remember that Michael J. Fox was one of the big stars of movies and televisions. And if you remember, he got famous by playing the part of Alex P. Keaton in Family Ties. And do you remember his thing, his shtick? Alex P. Keaton was a high school boy who was all in on President Reagan. He would argue with his parents about Reaganomics and politics. It was weird, and people laughed along. Fast forward 10 years, and you get a character named George Costanza on Seinfeld. And George's thing was that he got all wrapped up in the smallest, silliest situations. He got in a fight with a bubble boy over a game of Trivial Pursuit. He quit his job because his boss wouldn't let him use his private bathroom. He tried to move a Frogger game to his house because he had the high score. Silly situation after silly situation because he took small things way too seriously. And we laughed along. Fast forward another 10 years and you get to Parks and Rec with a character named Leslie Knope, who worked for the Parks Department in a small Indiana town that had nothing remarkable about it, but she was so all in, it was ridiculous. And we laugh along because we all know people like that. We all know people who sit in their living room and scream at the TV when the Packers go for it on 4th and 4, even though no one in Lambeau can hear him. We all know people who watch the news every night until they get so mad and so disgusted they have to turn it off and go to bed. We all know people who allow some small, silly situation to get them so worked up that they do silly, neurotic things just like George Costanza. You see, we laugh at those characters because we all know people like that. We laugh at those characters because we are people like that. But you know, when the laughter stops, there's a problem. You see, it's not that those things on the news don't matter. They do. These are real events in the world. It's just that the thing is, they oftentimes don't fall in our sphere of influence, which means there's really nothing we can do about them. And it becomes counterproductive to be all in some of those things. It's not that these people don't disrespect us at times in our life, but oftentimes our reaction to those moments of disrespect is far worse than what they did. You see, that's how it works with some things. If you go all in on things that don't require it, you risk becoming a punchline, a caricature, or a sitcom character. But there are other things where if you don't go all in, you will lose them. If you enter into marriage and you're not all in, you might not be married for long. If you have kids and you are not all in, your kids will pay the price and your relationship with them might never be the same. If you have a situation at work that demands your attention, a project that needs you to finish it, an account that needs to be dealt with, and you don't give it your full attention, you might not have a job for very long. You see, there are some things in life where if you go all in, you become a punchline. There are other things in life where if you don't go all in, you're a fool. So where does God's word sit? And I don't think you'd be sitting here right now if you put that in the first category. I mean, I remember what it was like when the kids were little and how hard it was to make sure everybody had two shoes on, they were all dressed, and they get in the car. I remember the fight it entailed sometimes getting everybody here. And we all have busy lives, so much going on. The fact that we carve out time for God's word shows that we know it matters. But you know the problem with that? It's not a question you get to answer once. That is a question you answer every day of your life. And those situations in life have a way of showing us things about ourselves that we might not like. If you would have went to the ancient Greek city of Thessalonica, and you would have found that little synagogue that the Apostle Paul went to, and you would have asked those people if they took God's word seriously, they would have been offended you even had to ask. Because they were the faithful few. They lived surrounded by a pagan culture that drank too much, slept around, worshiped false gods, and there they were, living according to the laws of Moses, exercising self-control, every Sabbath day gathered around God's word. Of course we take it seriously, they would have said. But that's not the kind of question you get to answer just once. And one day a guy named the Apostle Paul showed up. And as the Apostle Paul came, he challenged everything they knew about Scripture, not just because of his understanding of the Old Testament, but because of a message that's centered on Jesus of Nazareth. And this crucified and risen Jesus challenged all their misconceptions, all their unguided, unbiblical expectations. And it forced them to look at Scripture again and reevaluate some things. And if you're not all in, you'll lose it. And as they were wrestling with that, they watched how so many others reacted. And they watched as members of their little synagogue were now all in on this Jesus of Nazareth. And they saw as these Greeks that previously wanted nothing to do with them were now suddenly all in on this same Jesus as well. Even some prominent women with so much standing and influence flocked to hear more. And they watched as this Johnny-come-lately had so much success. And once again, there's that question. Do you take this seriously? Because if you do, you rejoice at the power of God's word, regardless of who shares it. But if you don't, well, that jealousy will get the better of you. You see, every day of their life, they had to answer that question, just like every day of our life, we have to answer that question. And they answered it with a resounding answer. When they found the worst kind of people in the marketplace, they got them all worked up. They started a riot. They went to the house of a guy named Jason, who was a Christian, looking for Paul and Silas. When they didn't find Paul and Silas, they arrest Jason and some other believers, drag them in front of the officials on some trumped-up charges. At the end of it, they have to post bond so they can go home. And Paul and Silas, they run to the next town in Berea. You see, they didn't take God's word seriously. It wasn't nothing, but it wasn't everything either. And in the end, they ran it out of town. See, every week we do this, huh? We get together, we gather around God's word, and we do that because we know what happens here matters, that these are the words of eternal life. But every day we have to answer that question, do you take God's word seriously? Are you all in? Situations in life have a way of revealing some things about ourselves. Times when Scripture challenges our worldview, our misconceptions, and we have to do some thinking. Times when Scripture shows me some things about myself I don't like to see, and against the mirror of God's law, I see the truth of my failures. Times when God's Word makes a promise that just seems impossible to me. There is that question. Do you take it seriously? Are you all in? In jealousy? Maybe it takes the form of the Thessalonians, where you're jealous at the success someone else has with God's word, but I'm guessing a lot of times it's a little more personal than that. It's just jealousy that this family over here or these people surrounding us seem to have everything figured out with their families and mine is still a mess. It's a frustration that God's word works faith in this person to a point that they seem never to doubt, or peace in this person, and you struggle to have either. It's a frustration that you find yourself dealing with the same temptation over and over again. It is such a fight, and you sit here on Sunday morning, and you look around, and you wonder if anyone else goes through the same thing. And there God is, reminding you that in the waters of your baptism, you are His. Reminding you that Jesus lived, died, and rose for you to give you the victory, and He stands by your side as you make your way through life. And there is that question. Are you all in? Do you take it seriously? Every day we answer that question. And oftentimes, the way we respond to those situations says something about ourselves, doesn't it? Because there are some times where we see what God's word says, and we understand what it says about our actions, but honestly, we just don't care. And we leave it behind to do what we want. Because there are times where Scripture challenges our worldview, the way we look at things. And instead of allowing Scripture to form that lens, we just cast it aside, call it old-fashioned, find some way to dismiss it. Because there are times where we can be so overcome with jealousy at the way no one else seems to struggle the way I'm struggling, that we begin to believe that God's word has no power in our lives. And do you know what happens? Every time we fail to answer that question, it's as if our grip on God's promises loosen just a bit. Because God's word is not a part of the first category. Instead, it's the kind of thing that if you don't take it seriously, if you aren't all in, you're in danger of losing it. The prophet Isaiah knew something about that. Maybe you remember that story where the prophet Isaiah goes to a king named Ahaz, and there's these people called the Assyrians that are invading the land, and God wanted the king Ahaz to know that the Assyrians would not conquer Jerusalem. And so he told Ahaz, you can ask for anything under the sun. Remember what Ahaz said? I will not put the Lord to the test, not because he trusted God, but because he didn't care. He didn't take him seriously. And yet, when you read Isaiah chapter 55, does Isaiah sound defeated to you? He says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to be empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, in this section, Isaiah compares God's word to rain. And he says, just like rain falls from heaven and brings life, so also God's word always works, bringing life in all kinds of ways. Just like you look outside, you see the green grass and the trees budding and the tulips coming up. So also, God's word works life in the human heart. You think about Paul and Silas when they left Thessalonica. In the middle of the night, they had to run away. They left behind this shell-shocked congregation. It seemed like the worst possible ending to their time there. But not long after this, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to them. We call it the book of 1 Thessalonians. And here's what he said about his time there. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. You see that confidence? I got to be honest, not every sermon I preach goes the way I'd like. But I've never been run out of town in the middle of the night like that. And yet there Paul is, having been run out of town on a rail, leaving behind a shell-shocked congregation, and he knew it wasn't for nothing. Because God's word works. And then they get to Berea. And the Bereans have a different mindset. It says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Do you know what made them different? It's not that they were perfect people. They weren't. It's not that they didn't struggle the same way many of you struggle in your lives. They did. But it's that at the end of the day, when it came to God's word, they took it seriously. They were all in. And God's word did what it always does. It worked. You know, you are the Bereans of today. And God didn't find you with Paul or Silas, but he found you with somebody. Maybe a Christian family, maybe a friend. Someone shared the word of God with you, and that word did what it always does. It worked. And now you have an opportunity to see that as you looked at the scenes of Holy Week and Easter, that this isn't just a story. That's your Savior. That's your death to sin. That's your new life. That's your resurrection painted before you, because God's word has convinced you of that. And every time you open it, you see something new. Because it's like the rain. It always brings life. You will read the same story over and over again, and then you read it for the umpteenth time, and you see something you never saw. You look at the same word of God over and over, and you will see an angle that you never considered before, because God's word is like that rain. It always works. It brings life. So what's it going to be? Right now, we're in the middle of our Follow Me discipleship pledge. It's an opportunity for you to just be intentional about your Christian life. And like I said, that pledge form is broken into several areas: gather, grow, give, and go. And today we're looking at the second one. And as you take this home and you prayerfully consider how you can be intentional about growing in your faith, about taking God's word seriously, what comes to mind? You know, there was a time where the first thing that came to my mind in my life were kids about the same age as the ones you saw up here. And so we wanted to do home devotions, and I'd be lying if I said it always went great. Because I would come home at night sometimes, and my wife would be pulling her hair out, and this kid would be running around, and that kid would refuse to take a bath, and this one's holding their diaper in the air, and you're wondering how in the world you're ever going to get them settled down. But you sit down, you show them some pictures, you read them the story, and God's word works. Or maybe you look at that blank and you just sit about you, you think about you and your spouse. Because that is such an awesome thing, that the person you spend your life with has the same Lord, same salvation. And you can sit there and you can download the same Bible reading app. You can come up with a Bible reading program. There's all kinds of them online. If you need any help, let me know. Or you can just decide to open your Bibles and read a book of the Bible together. Mark is a great one to start with. And in some ways, it is so hard because you are so in a hurry in the morning and you are so wiped out at night. But if you just take some time to read and to talk, God's word does what it always does. It grows. Or maybe you look at that blank and you think about your own just personal devotional life. And you have such an opportunity here at Emmanuel to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in the faith who can help you on that journey. You can join a growth group where you can be with a small group of people and you can grow in your understanding of who your God is together. You can join one of our bigger Bible studies like the Sunday Bible class, the Wednesday Bible class, the Wednesday night Bible class, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. There are all kinds of them. Or maybe as you look in that blank, you decide you're going to read God's word on your own. And like I said, there's all kinds of apps and all kinds of programs, and in some ways, it seems like the hardest thing to do because you've got such a busy life. But if you just open that Bible and you just read, God's word does what it always does. It works. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's I-M-M-L-U-T-H.org. Have a great day.